Morning. Thank you, Brother Anthony, for your introduction to the message. Phone call at 6 o'clock last evening, and trying to decide who should fulfill this responsibility here. I covet an interest in your prayers. I don't know if my voice will hold or not, but I trust God it will. For an introduction to the message this morning, turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, we're going to read verses 8 to 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. My message title this morning is Just a Pilgrim. And some of my thoughts are actually borrowed from a devotional I heard recently entitled City Building. In this passage here, we have Abraham says, by faith, he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. He just lived in tents. Why did he do that? Because he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 to 4 in Genesis chapter 11. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Hebrews 11, we have Abraham sojourning just as a nomad. He did not put his roots down. He lived in a tent. And we're going to be looking a little more at Abraham. We have the contrast here to Genesis 11, where men got together and said, let's build us a city so that we can all be drawn together, so we don't get scattered abroad. And we're going to make a name for ourselves by building this city. And as I thought of the pilgrim and stranger lifestyle concept, this message kind of comes as a sequel to the message on the kingdom of heaven, which I believe is the last one I shared here. You know, we're here, but this is not home. This is not home. This is a place where we're living, a place where we're visiting, a place where we are passing through. And we have a choice what we're going to do with that. We can be as Abraham, who just recognized that and said, I'm passing through. I'm going to live like I'm passing through. I'm going to live in a way that I can pick up sticks and go. Or we can be as these people here. And this is our natural tendency. This is the tendency I see in my life, to build a city. Fill in the blanks, whatever you want to, for city. Because that can be different for each of us. But we have this tendency to build a city, to put our roots down, to anchor ourselves, to make ourselves comfortable. And we're going to follow Abraham, his life. There's a lot of lessons we can learn from how he looked at life. We're going to jump ahead to Genesis 11, verses 31 to 32. Genesis 11, 31 reads, "And Terah took Abraham his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." Now what really stood out to me, and I did not know this before I started studying for this message, if we were to draw on a whiteboard, and I'm not going to take the time to do it, but if we were to draw on a board the Mediterranean Sea, which is the centerpiece of the Middle East, down here somewhere would be Ur. Up here somewhere, slightly westward, but mostly north, is Haran. And down here is Canaan. So we have here the account of Terah taking his family and at the call of God to migrate to Canaan. He picked up sticks. They started traveling. And they ended up in Haran. And I don't quite know how that all happened, because it very definitely was not the most direct way to Canaan. It was a very devious route. But that can happen to us today. God places a call on our lives. And after a while we say, "Yes, Lord." And we start, and we lose enthusiasm. And we end up not where God called us to be, even though we set out on the journey. When I say the word pilgrim, what goes through your mind? Just when I say pilgrim, what's the first thing you think of? Probably the Mayflower. That's where my mind would first go. The group of pilgrims I came across in the Mayflower many centuries ago were a group of individuals that did not fit where they were in England. And so they actually wound up doing some migrations before they came to America. But why did they not fit in England? It was because they could not agree with the state church concept. The state church, well, the state had control of the church. And just to make a long story short, they couldn't fit into this. And so they were not given the liberties that other people that cooperated with this system were. And in time, they wound up making a decision to do the dangerous voyage to America on the Mayflower. And that's a long story. There were actually several attempts. They were turned in and defeated, but they went at it again and eventually came over to America, largely for the purpose of freedom, of religious practice. Brother Anthony, in his devotional morning, this reading this morning, gave us a very good definition of a modern-day pilgrim. I'm just going to turn back to Romans 8 there. There was two references there that really stood out to me. Verse 1 introduces it this way: "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And then verse 14 really tied that thought together: "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." That's what we're talking about this morning as we talk about a pilgrim. We're talking about somebody whose relationship with God is that valuable to them that they're willing to be nomadic. They're willing to be moved around in this life. And here in verses 31 to 32, we see one class of person, and we're going to see a couple of classes of person. We're actually going back to the beginning of the chapter, saw a class of people that were not willing to be moved. They were going to stay put at all costs and build themselves a kingdom right where they were. Here in verses 31 and 32, we see Tira. He was willing to be moved, but for whatever reason, and we don't know all of that, he did not go the whole way. In fact, we don't know if he intentionally deviated or if God just led him on a circuitous journey. Sometimes God does that to us. I had to think of when the children of Israel came from Egypt into Canaan. Many times, God led them out around. Didn't take the short course from here to there. Took a course that was out around. Okay, we're going to go forward to Genesis 12 and read the first seven verses of Genesis 12. Here we have God coming back and giving his call to Abram. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And remember, this is actually just part of his ancestry, because they had left most of them behind prior. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. They went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. So God is coming to Abram this time, and saying, Abram, I want you to go to Canaan. Before, the call came to his father. And he had answered that call, possibly somewhat half-heartedly. But now the challenge is being dropped in the lap of Abram. And God's placing a challenge in your lap today. As I look across your faces, I don't know what the challenge is for everybody. But God is placing a challenge in your lap today. He's saying, come, I'm going to take you to Canaan. And what did Abram do with that challenge? It says he got up and he went. He took with him his wife and servants. He took with him Lot. That was the extent of the ones that went with him to Canaan. So he left behind his family, any friends they might have had there. They set out to go to Canaan. I think we do have a scripture somewhere that says he went not knowing whither he went. Well, God called Abram to Canaan. It is possible that Abram did not know, and this could be true of Tira too, did not know where Canaan actually was. They were just following where God took them day by day. And that is what our journeys are like. You know, God places a call on the lives of each one of us. Sometimes he tells us where that destination is. Not our ultimate destination, but sometimes he tells us where we're going. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he tells us, go the next day's journey. And then after that, go the next day's journey. And after that, go the next day's journey. Many times he works in that way. Each day, we face a battle in our hearts. Am I willing to go where God wants me to go today? Each day, we have to make that decision. Each day, we're saying yes or no to the will of God for our lives. Verse 2, God promises to Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. God doesn't always tell us that in so many words. And when he does, sometimes we mix up in our minds what the blessing of God really is. If I was able to come here in a stretch limo this morning, my family and I, does that mean I have the blessing of God? He has rewarded me richly. It seems absurd to you, and it does to me. But so many times that's the way we look at it in life. When the business is going good and the money's rolling in, God has blessed me. But the next year when it's dry, there's an economic downturn, we're saying, why, God? God, why? I think the reason is we have a confusion about what God's blessing is in life. God has never promised us an easy life. Do you think Abraham had an easy life? I don't think so. God has never promised us riches. God did actually, in Abraham's case, actually promise that. But that's not God's communication of blessing. God's blessing comes inside. Let's turn to Romans 8 again, if you would. I mean, that's God's blessing. I'm not actually going to take the time to turn there, but a life without condemnation. A life where, when I'm struggling on the outside and feeling pain in my heart inside, there's still a peace in knowing that God is walking with me in this journey and God cares for me. That's the blessing of God. Verse 4. God had just called Abraham to leave behind what he knew was familiar. And he said, go, and I'm going to bless you. So Abraham had to come to grips with the fact that what I have now that feels comfortable is not what God is going to call my blessing. Yes, maybe that's what God had for him in that time. But God is saying, move on. I have more blessing for you. So for Abraham to receive that blessing, he had to leave behind a lot of what was comfortable and familiar, a lot of his family. He did take his livelihood with him. He took his animals, his servants, and his wife, and his nephew. And that's what he had. That's what he had to lay claim to. That God said he was going to use. That's all he had left when God promised he was going to bless him. Now, verse 5. into the land of Canaan they came. When God called Israel from Egypt to take them back to Canaan, he said, I'm taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey. When Israel finally got to Canaan, they said, this is a land of scary giants. Yes, it does abound with plenty from a natural sense, but this is a land of scary giants. That's what their focus was. And sometimes Canaan, for us, is a land of scary giants. A land where we look around us and we're not sure how long it's going to be until we get consumed. But are we looking at the physical? Are we looking at our relationship with God? When we're fearing being consumed, usually we're looking at the physical. We're saying, my business might collapse. We're saying, I might lose my job. We're saying, this auto accident, I just lost a good vehicle and wound up with a lot of medical debt. Scary giants. And we all have those giants that we face. I can't name your giant. But you can. You don't have to think very far, and you can name your giant. I can name my giants. Verse 7, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. Abram is in this land, and God is promising it to him. He's saying, this will be your land. I'm giving it to you. If we jump forward in the life of Abraham, we know that Abraham had work ahead of him. It wasn't all just dropped to him. It wasn't a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. He had work. There was challenges between his servants and Lot's servants. Problems. Later on, Lot and his family got carried away. And Abram took his servants that were guarding the sheep and went and waged war with kings that had carried Lot away. There was work. It was not a bed of roses. But notice what Abram did at the Lord's promise. He built an altar. That's my challenge to us this morning. Do we have that altar? Is that a central part of our lives? Is a relationship with God of utmost importance to us? Because this is where blessing comes from. Okay, we're going to read verses 8 to 10. And we see a little different journey of Abraham's. Genesis 12, verse 8. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel in the west, and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. See a couple of things here. And maybe I should have broken up this reading, but first of all, Abram built his altar, he worshiped the Lord. But his journey was not done. He journeyed on toward the south. Actually, it doesn't say toward the south yet. He journeyed on till he had Bethel and Ai on either side. He built another altar. I see Abram's priorities. But then something happened here in verse 10. In verse 10, Since there was famine in the land, and Abram decided to go to Egypt. I don't think we're going to take the time to look at the story of what happened in Egypt. But to make a long story short, there was food, but there was problems. Egypt was not a good place for Abram's family. And Abram knew that when he went. As he was going down, he told his wife. He said, they're going to see you. And the princes are going to like what they see in you. They're going to claim you and they're going to kill me. And he schemed up a plan that he thought would resolve that. And that was to tell a half-truth. But it got him in trouble. It got him in trouble. Brothers and sisters, this morning, sometimes as God brings us into Canaan, we feel like it's famine, and we opt for Egypt. I don't have to think very far to think of probably the hardest journey of my life. And that was a health journey. My wife really struggled with her health. A year plus long journey. I look back on that, I say I don't want to go back there. Because it was painful. It was hard. But I also look back on that, I say, you know what? There was Canaan in that experience. That experience did something for me that nothing else in my life ever did. Abram got into Canaan and he discovered famine. But that did not have to take away Abram's blessing. He chose to go to Egypt. And I throw this out as a reminder to us, because that is our natural tendency. When there's something that doesn't feel good, something that hurts, something that's problematic, we tend to push it away and look for Egypt, where there's leeks and garlics, where there's plenty to feed up on, plenty to make us feel good. But I hasten to say, it's not going to be where you find your blessing. You'll find your blessing staying in Canaan, in the famine, and reaching out to God, and building that relationship with God, building an altar, building another altar, and just saying, God, here I am. I'm glad the story of Abram does not stop in Egypt. If we look at Genesis 13, verses 1 to 4, we're going to read that. Genesis 13, verses 1 to 4. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, and to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. What did Egypt do for Abram? It says he came back with lots of cattle, lots of silver and gold. From a natural perspective, it worked. Egypt increased his goods. Egypt made him rich. It was a rich land. His herds thrived there. In the famines in Canaan, his herds would not have thrived. He came back with a lot materially. But not until he came back to Canaan do we hear him building another altar. There was something Abram lost in his journey in Egypt that was not restored until he left Egypt behind and came back to Canaan. He got to Canaan, He built another altar. And again, Canaan was not without its troubles. It was after this story, with the increased goods, that there was strife between his herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. Lot decided to go to Ai. Abram gave him his desire. I'm sorry, I said Ai. Lot decided to go towards Sodom. Abram gave him his desire. See what God said to Abram in verse 14, 15 and onward. Chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. As Abram came back to Canaan and reestablished his altar of worship with God, God came to him again and said, my blessing is coming. You will receive my blessing. And I'm just blessed at Abram's reaction to that. He built another altar. And I would like to challenge us. You know, as we walk with God from day to day, let's build those altars. If God comes and blesses us, let's build another altar and another and another and another. Because that is where blessing is. I don't know if Abram yet realized the extent of his blessing that God pronounced upon him. But that blessing today blesses you and I. Because ultimately, from the seed of faithful Abram, Christ was raised up and became our sacrifice for sin. I doubt if Abram fully realized what just walking with God faithfully one day at a time was going to do for humankind. And brothers and sisters, today, you don't know that either. As we walk with God one day at a time, whatever that journey is, it may be a painful journey that feels like isolation. But if you let God will do something with your life that will affect others for good. And I want to leave that thought with us today. We have an option as we go through life. Am I going to be a nomad looking for a city over yonder? Or am I going to build a city here? God gives us a choice. He will, in his mercy, put wrinkles in our plans for city building many times, just to help us see that this is not what he has for us. Sometimes he lets us go for a while to build our empire, and it feels, from a physical perspective, it feels so good, it feels secure. But we're really blessed when God brings us the circumstances into our lives that force us to reach out to him and to put our trust in him. And that's what I want to leave with you this morning. Let's kneel for prayer.